Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Kevin Smith, CEO of Gold Mountain Mining. Traded on the TSX under the symbol GMTN and on the OTCQB under the ticker GMTNF. And Kevin, it's always great having you on the show just to get an update on how things are going with Gold Mountain. I know that the big news just announced yesterday is that Gold Mountain has received its first payment from New Gold for the February ore delivery. So as a reminder, you've been trucking the ore from your mine over to Gold Mountain to process that at the new Afton Center. And you got first payment. So that's a big milestone for the company. Congratulations, Kevin. And could you walk us through a little bit more about this transaction?
Yeah, absolutely, Shad. Thanks so much for having us back. We're extremely excited to be delivering our ore to New Afton, which is New Gold's mine there in Kamloops, and to hit our first payables here and transition into cash flow is obviously a really important milestone for the company. And, you know, February was a month of kind of dialing in our processes, not only on our site, but also the logistics of delivering over on New Afton's side. And we're really excited to be ramped up to, you know, our full scale here in March and, you know, looking forward to pushing forward here and continuing to maximize that permit that we have from the province of British Columbia to deliver 70,000 tons of mineralized material.
Now, Kevin, on that 70,000 tons of mineralized material that you're able to operate with, what does that equate to in ounces of gold per year? What do you expect the guidance to be for 2022 as far as you're kind of starting, you know, third month here, but what do you think the production guidance will be for this year and how will that change going into next year?
Yeah, so that permit and based on the grades that we're targeting, it's around 19,000 ounces a year for the first 3 years. And then we have a goal of ramping up to 65,000 ounces a year once we get our environmental assessment. Because we got our permit October 29th and we've started a few months late due to waiting for New Afton to get their permit to receive our ore, we're, you know, going to ramp things up and look to maximize that total permit amount this year and then get back into the steady state mining next year. So, you know, we anticipate to fully leverage that 70,000 tons. We're going to have to kind of lay the hammer down to catch up, but we think it's achievable based on the infrastructure we have on our side and New Afton's availability to receive our ore.
Well, now, Kevin, one other thing that I know you've been doing is working on growing your resources there at site. Is there a choke point where you wouldn't be able to truck any more ore over to New Afton? You know, what's their capacity look like? And is there a point where you would have to consider possibly building your own mill, let's say a couple of years from now?
Yeah, so we have an ore purchase agreement that's good for the 70,000 tons. That's definitive. We've also signed an LOI with New Afton saying that they would like to receive more ore once we're able to and have our permitting to do so. So they're definitely interested in receiving more ore. And based on the economics of our project, you know, building a mill and having tailing storage on site, number one, it costs a lot of money, and we don't think it really makes sense until we get up to around that 100,000, 110,000 ounces a year production profile. So we're not saying it's totally out of the realm of possibility, but at the moment, we're letting economics drive the decision, and we'll be looking to continue to expand this relationship with New Afton as we continue to scale up the project. And also, when we go to scale up to 65,000 ounces a year, if we're not building a mill, which is about 14 million liters of water a year out of the watershed, and then storing tailings, which obviously adds a different dynamic to the permitting process, we've found in our conversations with regulators and Indigenous communities and communities surrounding our project that it really streamlines the permitting process if we just continue this mining on site, sampling, weighing, and then trucking to New Afton and just selling them our raw ore. They take over ownership, they take on all risk of recovery. And it's a really easy business to manage for us and really easy for us to scale up. So we're excited to continue pushing our product to New Afton.
Yeah, absolutely, Kevin. It makes a lot more sense to let them, when they already have the operations at New Afton, do the processing and keeps you from having to, like you say, have the tailings facility there, use all the water consumption there. It makes permitting a lot better. I just know that that's a question the marketplace had is, you know, are you considering building your own mill or at what point would you have to? And it sounds like you've got a great relationship with the New Gold team and that they're open for more capacity. So That's going to be good news as you continue to grow the production side. So again, congratulations on graduating from a development company into a producing company, Kevin. But let's talk about some of the growth at your deposit. I know that in addition to around the mine near Siwash North and a couple of the other veins that you have, you've also made a new discovery at what you've dubbed the Elusive Zone. And it's a slightly different mineral deposit. It's located a few kilometers away from the actual site of most of the mining, but it could be another secondary production center. And you had some news that came out in February highlighting some of the discovery and some of the new drill intercepts. Walk us through what's happening at that Elusive Zone.
Yeah, so this is the first time that area on the property has ever been drilled. It's got the second highest gold and soil anomalies anywhere on our property. So we were really keen to get out there and see what happened and to put drill, you know, initial drill holes in and to get results like this back, you know, hitting over 300 grams a ton. We were looking for a little bit of a more bulk tonnage style target. Which we still believe exists further to the west, which is a new zone we're going to be exploring this spring, summer called Elusive West. But yeah, to hit this same high grade mineralization that the Elk is famous for shows that there's still lots of gold in the ground. And we're really excited to get the drills back out into Elusive Zone this spring, summer, and really continue drilling this out. We've got some magnetics lined up as soon as the snow melts, so that we can go in there and get some higher definition of understanding of what's going on. And then that way we can go back and be really targeted with our drills and continuing to see sort of, you know, where this thing could lead us to.
Well, it's a pretty exciting development for the company because I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it's about 10 kilometers away from the Elk deposit. And I believe that that's still plenty close to be able to truck it to New Afton. So is that generally a sense of the lay of the land about where Elusive is located relative to the Elk gold mine?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about 8 kilometers on the property. I mean, there's already infrastructure out there, got great logging road network throughout the property. And yeah, it was just a matter of dragging the drill out there and making it happen. But we're really excited. We think there's potential here to, you know, make another high grade open pittable mine. And we would be able to leverage all of our headquarters that are located by Siwash North on our property. We'd be able to leverage all that infrastructure and continue pushing the project forward without a major expansion or a new mine. So yeah, no, it's working out really well so far. And like I said, we're extremely excited to get the drills back out there.
Well, and speaking of Siwash North, you guys had some good drilling that you did there this year as well and continue to expand and find more resources and find untapped areas that previous operators or previous landholders hadn't tested. How are things developing around the mine at Siwash North and the drilling that you did there?
Yeah, it's going really well. So in the late fall and winter, we kind of stick close to home in the Siwash North, and we do a lot of step out drilling. We're hitting some phenomenal looking intercepts at around 325 meters under topography of our pit, which would extend about 7,500 meters below where we have any intercepts right now. That's where the drills are focused at the moment for the tail end of phase three here. I've extended the program and added a few more holes because I'm pretty confident that some of these intercepts are going to return, you know, the grades that the Siwash North is famous for. We've also been stepping out on strike just to sort of show that there is more scalability. And we've been doing a lot of confirmation drilling, which is going to support our mining. So in these winter months, we stay close to home and we really start focusing on adding resources, adding ounces in the Siwash North zone. And then spring, summer is coming, and that's when we go out to some of these other satellite areas on our project and continue to show that we feel there's a lot of other pockets of mineralization on this property that are going to show, you know, similar opportunity as the Siwash North, where you've got these high grades that are open pittable in the first part of the mine plan. And then, you know, who knows, potentially we can develop underground there as well. And then we are still elephant hunting, looking for those bulk tonnage targets and an opportunity to show real scale at the Elk. And, you know, that's back to your earlier question. That's probably when we'd be looking at building a mill on site and when the economics would make a little bit more sense is if we are able to link up with one of these copper gold porphyries that we're in search of.
Well, and Kevin, I know that you've mentioned a couple other drill targets in the past, one being the Gold Creek Zone, the Lake Zone, the South Zone. Are any of those targets going to get some of the drilling, or have they been getting drilling? And when can investors look for some updates on what those particular targets may hold?
Yeah, so we actually were able to establish maiden resources in the Lake Zone and the South Zone on that last resource update that we did. So we definitely plan to go out and continue drilling out those targets. The drill is sitting in an area on our property called Gold Creek right now, and we're drilling through mineralization in the Gold Creek Zone, and there are 500 meter holes that are actually linking up underneath of the Siwash North Zone so that we can extend our resources deeper. So, you know, we're definitely sticking close to home right now in the winter, but those satellite zones that you mentioned are for sure going to be part of our spring summer program.
Well, just remind the listeners about how many meters did you drill in 2021, and then how many are you targeting to drill in 2022?
It was three programs that were 10,000 meters in 2021. There was a little bit of overlap in late 2020, but most of those meters were in 2021. And then we're jumping right into a phase four 20,000 meter drill program. Now that the company's in cash flow, we want to continue ramping up our exploration. We realize, you know, scale is a big part of what we're building here. We feel that there's an opportunity to turn the elk into a multi-million ounce producer. So it's going to be really important to keep the drills turning, as well as driving on the production front and showing the scalability from a production profile standpoint.
Well, and Kevin, one more thing you've mentioned in the past, but it may be worth reiterating, is that there's about 127,000 meters of old drill core that you're in the process of relogging. At one point when we had talked, you had done about 15,000 meters of that, but that represents another area where the company can interpret this model, maybe grow the resources, but maybe learn a few things. How is that going on the relogging process of all that old drilling?
Yeah, we continue to relog core. That relogging has probably brought in 35, 40% of the resources that we've added to date. We're sticking some new technology that obviously previous operators weren't able to leverage. And as you've mentioned, it's given us a really clear understanding of sort of how these veins model. We've updated the geological model. It was six veins originally. We're now up to 41. And it's allowing us, when we go in there and mine it, to be a lot more confident. You know, anytime you can add resources and you don't have to drill, it makes for really cheap exploration for the company. So, yeah, we're extremely excited about continuing to work our way through those 127,000 meters of historic core. And it's a big part of our exploration plans going into spring, summer as well.
Yeah, often the cheapest form of exploration is to relog that old core, and there's so much to be gained from it. So we'll keep tabs on that, and we'll keep following along as more of those results come out and as resource updates come out. Is there a plan to update the resource again in 2022 or next year in 2023? What is the plan on updating the resources?
Yeah, absolutely. So once we get all of the core back from this phase three program, we'll certainly be looking to update the resource with a goal of getting that measured and indicated, hopefully up over 1 million ounces, so that when we finalize this PFS that has been in the works, that we're able to declare maiden reserves over 1 million ounces. So that's definitely a goal of the company right now and something that we're hoping to deliver in 2022.
That's fantastic, Kevin. And as far as that being one of the key milestones and working towards the PFS, are there any other key news events or anything that's coming down the pike that you want investors to focus on over the next few months or even as we balance out the year? What's the key news that investors should be looking out for, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, we had a busy 2021. You know, we're pretty aggressive with deliverables. I think people should expect sort of the same pace that, you know, Gold Mountain is becoming known for. We definitely want to get the EA process started. That environmental assessment is a big key in order for us to expand our production profile. We want to continue aggressively drilling the property out and just show people that we're serious about building a larger production story here. A lot of people want to know how the M&A front is going. Right now, we're really focused on executing, obviously, on delivering ore and getting into cash flow, as well as this phase three drill program that's wrapping up. But, you know, now that we are in cash flow, or, you know, we were near cash flow, there are a lot of conversations that have started. We're vetting a lot of different opportunities at the moment, but it's got to make sense for Gold Mountain shareholders, whatever deal we do. And, you know, it's got to fit with our near-term production and, you know, getting into cash flow. It's got to fit that profile as well. So we, you know, we're going to continue really driving the company forward. And people should expect that same pace of 2021, where there's a steady stream of news and always looking to grow the company and show the market we're serious here about creating a larger gold producer.
Well, that's a great summation there, Kevin, and we'll definitely keep following along as more news hits the wires. We always appreciate you spending some time with us here at the KE Report to update the audience on how things are going. Congratulations again on first production revenues being realized by the company, and hopefully 1 month to kick off many, many more months of growing revenue creation and growing resources at the Elk and at the Elusive Zone. If people want more information about Gold Mountain Mining, please feel free to email me. My email is shad@kereport.com. And in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Gold Mountain, so I'm biased, but I'm also just generally enthusiastic about growth of the company and your graduation from a developer into a producer. So hats off to you and your team, Kevin.
All right. Thanks so much for having us back, Shad. Looking forward to talking soon.